The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king, marching into battle, will not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking that I'm Father Ricky's son. You can see the difference between two Mexicans. One raised in California, the other one raised in Arizona. We don't have enough food there. I'm Father Rudy Valenzuela. I'm a friar at the Sigpur, Los Angeles. I want to thank you, Father Ricky, for your hospitality and for allowing me to share with your people the mission that the church has entrusted me in Mexico. I come from a little town in Mexico, about 6 hours from here, San Luis Rio Colorado, Sonora, Mexico. It's a long name. We know it by its nickname, Hell. It's one of the hottest places on earth. Between June and September, temperatures can go up to 125, 130. About 2 weeks ago, I was coming to Los Angeles, and it was 110 degrees at 5 o'clock in the morning. So you can imagine how hot it gets. So I'm sad to tell you I come from hell. Sadder to tell you I'm going back to it. San Luis is also one of the most violent cities in Mexico right now. It's been for the last 3 or 4 years. There are 2 drug cartels that are trying to take hold of the city, and hence there's been a lot of killings. About 2 months ago, I went to the cemetery to bury 200 unclaimed bodies. And one of the saddest moments in my priesthood, to think that I was burying these people whose names we did not know and we will never know. So I ask you to pray for San Luis and to end the violence, not just in San Luis, but in Mexico. In San Luis, I'm the pastor of Holy Spirit Church, and I'm also the director of Clinica Santa Maria de Guadalupe, a healthcare clinic that takes care of the poor. Clinica Santa Maria de Guadalupe serves over 30,000 patients a year. We charge the equivalent of $5 or free if the patient or the family cannot afford health care. Because our main mission at the clinic is not to deliver health care, our mission there is a mission of the church. It's to be the healing presence of Christ among the poor. And we do so by delivering health care. We have physicians and nurses. We have a dentist, we have a lab, we have a pharmacy. Last year, we were able to buy an x-ray machine thanks to the mission appeal. And this year, we hope to buy an ultrasound machine to be able to provide holistic healthcare to all those who come to us. Our mission is, never to deny healthcare to anyone who crosses our doors. And your generosity towards the missions makes miracles. Just think of this. $20 of your generosity help us take care of one patient for a whole year. $20 of your generosity help us take care of one patient for a whole year. With $50, we give sight to the blind. With $100, we raise the dead from their tombs. The work of missionaries throughout the world will not be possible if it wasn't because of you. Behind every missionary, every priest, every religious sister, every layperson who are sent forth by the church to spread the gospel and to heal the sick, you are behind our backs. I would not be able to be in San Luis for 18 years. I used to live in Long Beach 18 years ago, and my superior one day comes to me and tells me, Rudy, the bishop in San Luis, is asking for one of us to go there and start a clinic for the poor. And then he says, and I thought of you. You know how superiors are when they want to move you. And I thought to myself, well, why don't you go yourself? I ended up in San Luis, and I thought to myself, well, I'll be here for a year, and then I'll go back to Long Beach. It's been 18 years, and I'm still there. The happiest times of my life. So I want to thank you for your generosity. Today, you have the opportunity to be missionaries with us, to be behind our backs so we can continue the work that the church has entrusted us. In your pews, you will find an envelope like this. It has a number. The number of the clinic is 2098. And you can bring it next week. You can write the check to Holy Family Parish, and you can write Mission Appeal, and eventually Father Ricky will send it to the mission office, and it'll eventually get to us. So in advance, thank you for that. And I want to end my mission appeal here because I really want to dive deeply into the readings today, which are not the easiest of readings to listen to. As a matter of fact, I encountered Monsignor Connolly on the hallway yesterday, and he looks at me and he says, you're the preacher for this weekend? And I said, yes. And then he comes to me and hugs me and says, thank you. Because I didn't know what to speak about when we listen from the gospel. If anyone comes to me without hating his father or mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, he cannot be my disciple. It is a difficult reading. Next time I'll plan it better not to come on this Sunday. The gospel of Luke contains, my dear brothers and sisters, one of the most demanding declarations attributed to Jesus in the New Testament. He concludes with this statement, none of you can be my disciple unless he or she gives up all possessions. It is the most extreme statement on renunciation of wealth in the Gospel of Luke. In a sense, what Jesus is doing in the gospel is simply being honest with his disciples and with each one of us. He foresees that those who follow him will eventually become caught up in the suffering and death that he now faces. It will not have been nice to his followers to keep him unaware of the possible fate they face if they follow him. So he thus warns them about that possible destiny, initially in that strong message about hating one's father and mother. In today's gospel, what Jesus is doing is inviting us to imbibe his spirit of commitment and sacrifice in order to be his true disciples. What does Christ mean by the word hating? He teaches us and calls us to practice sacrificial love. Christian love, the only true love. We must set this kind of language in the time and culture of Jesus. It's not a matter of literally coming to hate anyone. Semitic languages in the time of Jesus do not have a word for prefer. When a person prefers one thing or one person over the other, he or she is said to love that thing or that person and hate the other. It's like when someone falls in love. He prefers to love this one beautiful girl and decides to not prefer the other ones. And that's what Jesus is talking about. It is an expression of rejecting something, possibly something good, for something that is considered more desirable. And what Jesus is saying then is that family ties have to take second place as far as following him is concerned. Those who adopt his mission, his commitment, and his way of life will eventually cause some pain and some sacrifice to their loved ones, who perhaps had other plans for them. And that reminds me of the time when I initially told my mom, after a youth retreat, that I was going to the seminary. It was not an easy moment. She cried, she begged, she stopped talking to me for a whole month. I was torn inside. I didn't know what to do. So in spite of that pain and that suffering and those difficulties in that month, I had to opt for hating my mother, for not preferring her over Jesus. And look at me, 40 years later. Don't worry, my mom is doing well. She's much better. She's happy to have a son who's a priest. Despite all these semantic explications, Jesus' words continue to be very strong, and they get to the heart. And I think the first thing we must think about it is, why is he so strong about these words? And I think that the first thing is that he's talking about himself. He's committed. He's determined. He's going to have to walk up Calvary and be crucified and die for us all alone. And for that, he has to hate the suffering that he's causing to his mother and to those who surround him in order to give his life for us. He came to save the world, and he came to save us through pain and sorrow, rejection, and everything else that his disciples will be afraid of. Because as disciples, we are always looking for the good stuff. We see Jesus as a dispenser of the good things. But Jesus is looking for something else in us and in his disciples. He's looking for commitment. For detachment from everything. Because he's going to have to go through this and will rise again, and he will save the world through his sacrifice of great love. But what saves the world, my dear brothers and sisters, is that he comes among us and he asks us to make the same commitment, total detachment. Detachment of all other girls, so I can commit to this one. Detachment of my own mother, so I can commit to him. He's saying to us, I have come to save the world, and I have come to save it through sacrificial love. And it's the only way to love. You must love through sacrifice. And that's not a walk in the park. That's not a happy dance. It is a commitment that you and I must take in our very, in the very depth of our hearts. And commitment is very important. When you're tired, when you're hungry, when you're angry, when you're frustrated, there are times in your life when you must take a commitment seriously, especially when you feel that everything is dark around you, when you have difficulties in your relationships, at work, at school. Because faith gets stronger when we go through difficulties. And so Jesus is saying, whatever stands in your way of following me, as we walk together for a great cause to bring God's love and forgiveness to the whole world, we are doing that, but you must commit yourself to it. You must commit your heart and your soul. I give you my life, you give me yours. I give you without counting the cost, you give me yours without counting the cost. I give you my life to teach you how to love as I love. You give me your life to receive my love and bring it to other people. I begin a mission and you continue it. But in the continuing of that mission, I will never, never be far from you. I will be with you all days, even to the end of the world. And basically, it's a marriage. It's commitment. That is what he's talking about. And when two people get married in the Catholic Church, they give their lives entirely to each other, to love, to respect, to be faithful in good times and in bad times, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, all the days of our lives until death do them apart. This is what Jesus is talking about, to be committed, to hate anything that interferes with our love for him and for our neighbor. In marriage, commitment means this: I give my life to you with all the possibilities, all the dreams, all the hopes, and also all the pain and trouble and misunderstandings and all the rest of it. I give consent to you and I commit myself to you for the rest of my life. So, spouses must hate everything else that may interfere with their love and their commitment. Sin, greed, envy, anger. The husband must hate his job. That is, not prefer his job over his wife. The wife must hate. That is, not prefer her children or friends or anything else over her husband. And I acknowledge that that is a difficult thing to listen to Jesus say this, because we are used to doing the opposite. And I tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, we are called to opt for preferring Jesus, even if that means not preferring those who love us. For when we opt for Jesus, we also opt for loving our neighbor, those who are sitting next to us, those who are at home, those who are strangers, the sick, the poor, the homeless, the migrants. So, listening to the voice of Jesus today, let us ask God, our merciful Father, in this Eucharist, that we may have the courage and the commitment to follow him, even if that means not preferring our own mother or father.